All right, if you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 9. Tonight's sermon is not the easiest sermon, I would say, on my list of sermons, but I think it'll be a blessing to you. It's something God has showed me just a couple weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, and He taught me this, so I felt like it was a good thing to teach y'all. So if y'all stand, John chapter 9, we're going to read verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want to focus on just like three words in verse 4, the first three words. I must work. I've noticed a lot growing up, and as a kid, you really just kind of catch on to things really quick by watching people, and you know if they're real or not. Even as adults, you know if people are real or not. And as a kid, and even now, I see Christians that have adopted a mindset of we have a choice and we have a decision to make. Okay? And don't jump to conclusions. Let me finish the sermon before you jump to any conclusions, okay? They've adopted a mindset of choice. I have a choice with this. I have a choice with this. I have to make the decision for this. But there are a lot of things in the Bible where we don't get a decision. We don't get a choice. God has made the choice for us. Several things, more things than I can put in one night. So I'm just going to give you just a few of what God has given me. The first thing is we must be born again. Must. You have to go to John chapter 3 and verse 7. This is Jesus talking. John chapter 3 and verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, just because the Bible doesn't say the word must doesn't mean that we have a choice in it, okay? Because God gives commandments in the Bible that don't say the word must in there, okay? You have to take it as the commandments of God are things that we need to do. If your parents tell you to go clean your room, of course, some of us are older now and we aren't under our parents, but let everybody pretend that you're under your parents. If they tell you to go clean your room, what are you to do? To go clean your room, right? So if God gives us a commandment, we are God's children, we are commanded to do something, we are to do it and obey, are we not? First off, we must be born again. Salvation is a must, but you can choose not to accept it, okay? You can choose whether to accept it or not, but you can't choose to go to heaven if you don't accept it. It's one or the other. You can't have both. If you either get saved and you go to heaven, or you don't get saved and you don't go to heaven. You don't get one without the other. Okay? They go together. There are consequences to not obeying what God has commanded us. In order to reap the blessing of salvation, we must accept salvation. We have to. There's no other way. We don't get a second option or opinion to get saved. You must be born again, as we saw in the verse. Secondly, we must go. We must go. Go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and we'll read verse 4. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Go to Mark 16:15. Most of us probably know this. What are the works of him that has sent me? What are the works of God? It says it in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. So in order, we must go. We must reach the people to Christ. And I see in the back that y'all support missionaries. Physically, we're not able to reach here and in other countries. But through missions, you can. So y'all are going, and we don't have a choice, do we? Does it say in Mark 16:15, does it give us a choice? No, it's a commandment. He said, go. We don't get a choice. But people have adopted this mindset of, well, let me decide if I want to go soul winning or not. Well, you don't get a decision because God already made it for you. You don't get a decision. God told you right here. What does the Bible say? We are not our own. We are bought with a price, right? We are owned by God. We are God's child. He tells us what to do and we are to obey it. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He said, go. We don't get a choice. There's so many things in the Bible that Christians are like, well, I get a choice. I have to make the decision. Well, you don't have to make the decision. God made it for you. Does it say, people go, oh, Lord willing, I'll make it to church tonight. That is the most thing that drives me crazy when people say that, okay? I'm not a pastor. Not yet, anyway. And it drives me nuts when I hear that out of somebody's mouth. Because God said, go to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You are to go to church every time the doors are open. You are to go to church. It's a must. It's not a choice. You do not get decision to go to church. You do not get decision to go soul winning. God commanded you to go. God commands you to do. So we must be born again. We must go. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We are to go soul winning, teaching people, right? That's why we have Sunday school classes. That's why we have Sunday school in here. We're teaching people so they can go and reach more people, so they can go and reach more people. It's just a cycle that we can reach a lot of people if we just teach and keep going, right? In this verse is a command and not a choice to go and preach the gospel to all people. We are not to be a respecter of persons. A respecter of persons. We are not to say, well, I'm going to go reach this rich guy over here, but this poor guy, I want nothing to do with. I'm not going to tell him. We're not to do that either. We're to reach all people. Right? Is that what the Bible says? There's so many commands in the Bible, as I said before, but I don't have time to go through them all, that we think we get a choice or we have a decision if we need to or not to do it, but we really don't. God commands it, so we should do it. Let me remind you that there is no age limit on these verses. It applies to everybody, young or old, no matter what the race, it doesn't matter. It applies to everybody, no matter who you are. It applies to everybody. Okay? And if you're not physically able to go soul winning, I'll add this in. If you're not physically able to go soul winning, you can still pray for those who are going soul winning. You can still do something. Whether you go to the store and ride on a buggy and hand out tracts, you can do something. If you really want to do something, you can find a way to do it. Okay? The big thing nowadays is people make excuses of why they can't go and why they can't do this or that. But really, the answer is you just don't want to. You just don't want to be obedient. It's that simple. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and either you did or you didn't. Either you obeyed or you disobeyed. Either you accepted salvation or you rejected salvation. You did good or you did bad. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. God says very plainly, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's no in between. It's either good or it's bad. You're either doing good or bad. You're accepting or rejecting. You obeyed or you disobeyed. So if God, according to what we just saw, are we all to go soul winning? Yes or no? Yes. If you don't go, what is that? Disobedience. Right? And how can God bless you if you're a disobedient child? He can't. He can't. It's that simple. He's a holy, perfect God. There's no way he can bless you if you're disobeying and if you're a disobedient child. Now, following that, if you're disobeying, what does God have to do? He has to chasten us. He will chasten you because he's a good dad and a good father. He will chasten his children. He will. We're fixing to get to that. I jumped ahead of myself. But he will chasten his children. And if we're disobedient, we want God to do something miraculous in our life, but yet we won't do the simple commandments God has in the Bible for us to do. God says, go soul winning. If you're not going soul winning, that's a little thing. So why would he do something really big in your life if you won't even do the little thing that God has commanded us to do? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, if I can find it, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no if or buts. It's whether it be good or whether it be bad. There's no in the middle. It's either good or it's bad. And then thirdly, we must love. And you're like, love? What? Okay, go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and we'll read verse 29 through 31. How many of y'all think love is a big deal to a Christian, like in, as in a Christian? It's a big deal. Why did Christ come and die on the cross? He loved us. So is it a big deal? I would say so. I would say it's probably one of the big, probably the top two, right? Top three biggest things. So Mark chapter 12, 29 and 31 through 31 says, I can see it. Okay, there we go. And Jesus answered unto him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And second is like unto this, is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And there's verse after verse after verse in the Bible that commands us to love. In Matthew 19:19 says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Verse 43 says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And second, Matthew 22:39 says, and second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark 12:31, and the second, like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Romans 13:9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, sorry. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a pretty big deal. James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Luke 10:27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Love is a big deal. Okay? God had enough love to come down on the cross and to die for us. Did God see us at our best? No. He saw us as sinners who needed judgment, who needed hell, but he came down anyway. Right? And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? If I see somebody and they're not at their best, okay? And they're not at their best, am I to love them anyway? Yes. Even at their worst, I am to love them because it's a commandment of God. God loved us at our worst. He knew the worst sin we would ever commit in our life. And yet he came down to earth and died for us because he loved us. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love them no matter what. People do bad things. They really do. And people, they don't get it. Okay, some people just don't get it. They're like, I don't have to like them. I don't have to love them. But God commands you to love them even at their worst. There's a story in the Bible that I was looking up these verses that I just read you, a bunch of them on thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there was a story or a parable, I don't remember which one, it just took off and left my head. But there's a story in a parable that came up that I thought was very, very interesting. Go to Luke chapter 10. Let me just ask this question. Do you remember a time when somebody loved you at your worst? When you were not at your best and you were at your worst, somebody took the time to love you and to invest in you so that you would do right, or so that you would be encouraged and do better. Do you remember that time? I do. I was not the best kid growing up. I can tell you a little bit of background story since I have enough time. I grew up in a house of seven brothers. My sister wasn't born yet, so seven boys, one girl. My sister was the youngest, and we were rough, okay? You're like, oh, rough, whatever. Okay, so we would box without gloves, first off. And then anytime we had a dispute with each other, Dad would throw the gloves and say, get in the room and go fight it out. That's how rough we were. I broke my brother's nose, and it's all crooked like that now. But I say that to say, I was a wild child, and I wanted nothing to do with God back then. My older brother influenced me and said, God has nothing for you. God hates you. Why else would he put us in this house? And this is not degrading my parents or anything. They were doing the best they knew how. But I would get thrown up against walls. I would get hit with a fist. I would get all that, okay? And I do not okay that, and I do not think any kid should go through that. But God took that, and he made me where I am now. Okay? And I was a little kid that was influenced to do bad by my brother. He said, you do anything you want to. You want to get a girlfriend, get a girlfriend. You want to go drink, go drink. You want anything. Just put whatever you want in that situation. You want to go chew dip? Here, I give you one. I did all that. Okay? But it just didn't fill the gap. It just didn't help. Okay? And there was somebody in that church that cared for me and that not really overlooked, but she didn't care what I was doing during the weekday. She didn't care how bad I was acting. She still loved me and invested in me. It was the pastor's wife that did that. And she, every Sunday I would take her a Pepsi because I knew she cared for me. She cared for me. Even though I thought nobody on this planet cared for me, she did. And she is the reason I am convinced today that I am standing before y'all. Because she loved me at my worst. When I wanted nothing to do with God. When I hated God. Because of what my older brother told me. But God changed that around. When I got saved, it was a new look. Because somebody invested in me and said, hey, Christianity is good. Being a Christian is a great thing. Loving God, it's a great thing. Going soul winning, it's a great thing. Being saved, it's great. Kids, pay attention. You're not missing anything in the world. I promise you, I've done it. I've been there. Okay? I'm 25 years old. You're like, oh, whatever. He's a young squirt. I've probably done more than y'all have. But that's not bragging about what I've done in the world. I'm here to tell you that there's nothing good in the world. It leaves you empty. It leaves you with nothing good. It takes everything from you. I have scars today, and I have things I have to carry today because of what I did back then, because of the influence of my brother. And even now, I struggle with not hating my brother for it because I know the baggage I have to carry from it. And I have to fight that every day, every hour, because of his advice that I followed. And it was my decision to follow what he said. But somebody loved me. Somebody invested time. Older people and even middle-aged people, invest time in these kids. Invest time in people who you can help. They don't know what the world has in store, but some of y'all do. If they're going through something, help them. If you just see, hey, you're struggling, let me help you. Are you doing okay? Smile. Just encourage them in the Lord, you know? The world leaves you empty. And there's nothing you can do in the world that'll give you as much joy as serving God. There isn't anything, I promise you. I've done so many things in the world that I wish I could take back. I wish I could just click the rewind button and take all that away. But I can't. So what am I going to do with that? I'm going to use it to help one of y'all or somebody else and say, hey, don't go down that road. It's bad. It's great for a little bit and it feels good and all this, but it's bad at the end. The payment hurts. It's bad. I mean, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but then payday's coming, and it hurts. It really does. But invest in people. Show them you love them. Love's a big deal. A big deal. This parable was listed in cross-references to the thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verses 30 through 37. This is about the rich young ruler who asked, what must I do to be saved? And this was great, I thought. Let's read it. Verse 30 through 37 says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down. This is a different one. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And that is what the world will do for you, okay? Pause, time out. That's what the world will leave you with. Nothing. It'll leave you half dead and with nothing. Let's continue verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And he saw him. What do y'all think the priest did? Priest is supposed to be a good guy, right? He was supposed to be an okay guy, right? Great guy. Let's read what he did. He passed by on the other side. Wow. Great job, priest. Okay, keep going. And likewise, a Levite, when he saw at the place, came and looked on him. A Levite, hey, that's a pretty good guy. Came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Man, will anybody help this guy? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one? One who helped him, right? The Samaritan. The guy that the Jews hated. The guy, they shook off the dirt. They hated them so much. And yet, he wasn't bitter at that. He still helped them. And he paid for his thing. I can see a parallel story to this. Can you not? Can you see the picture of Christ in this? The guy in the ditch having nothing, half dead, no money, no nothing. And this guy comes over, helps him up, pays for all his wounds, pays for everything, and gets him up and a new start. Can y'all not see that? I can see that. Where once I was half dead, and I was beaten up by the world, and I was in fights every day of my life, in the skate parks and all this, and I was just so hungry for something. Fights gave me that adrenaline, but it just didn't last. But then I got saved. And then God came. Man, and y'all think, oh, he's lying. He's just a bunch of baloney. I'm not lying to y'all, I promise you. The best thing that ever happened to me was me getting saved. Man, I promise you. I don't know what more to say. I have so many things in my past that just hurt me and tore me down and tore down my self-respect and tore down my confidence to where I would just stand in a corner and I wouldn't talk to anybody. I hated myself. Anybody else been there? I just hated myself. And I thought about suicide a couple times. I just hated my life. And suicide is not the answer, okay? Side note. I did. But then I got saved. And God changed it all around. He paid for my sins. He paid for me. And I accepted Him, and that was it. And here I am now, serving God. He's called me to pastor. But God has protected me even when I wasn't saved. Can y'all say that God has protected you even before you saved? I've never kissed a girl before I was saved. Even through all the bad things I've done, never kissed a girl, ever. Never touched one immodestly. Who can say that? Been out in the world, influence, hey, you need to. I never did. God wouldn't let me. There were several times when I was going to, But God was like, you ain't going to. Like, I was at a Gaddy's, okay? And I was supposed to meet a girl or whatever. And God broke my truck. He broke my truck. And I was like, why? But now looking back, all you can say is, thank you, Lord. What more can I say? I wouldn't be able to pastor like God's called me to do. God knows what you need. He knows you. He knows what's best for you. Anything out in the world will not satisfy. It ain't going to help you worth a licking. It'll help you for a season, but after that, paydays are coming. And when payday hits, you're going to wish you hadn't done all that. And your back will get broke. Your back will get hurt. But who carries our burdens? Burdens are lifted at Calvary, right? Still have to come to the altar and confess your sins. But God takes your burdens. He does. He lightens the load. He helps you through life. God's so good. What more can you say? What more can you say? So, it's a must to go soul winning. And it's a must to love people. It is. If you love people, who in the Bible sticks out in your mind who loved people? Christ did. I can think of Paul did. After all the bad things he did before he was saved, he loved people after. He did. He did more work than probably anybody else. That boy was all over the map. He was winning souls for Christ. He was going. He was obeying the commandments of God. And God did something great in his life. We need to obey in the small commandments and the small things God's telling us to do for him to do the great things in us. Don't worry about the world. They're going to flash things. Hey, this is great. This is great. Commercials. Oh, beer's amazing. It's not. I can't say what it tastes like, but it's not. It's terrible. Everything in the world is not as good as they show it is. Who is Satan? What does Satan do? What is Satan the father of? Lies. He will lie to you to get you to do something. And then after you're like, man, that wasn't near as good as they showed it was. Satan's the father of lies. He'll lie to you all day long. It ain't hurting him. He's going to hell anyway. He's going to lake fire anyway. He's just trying to drag as many down as he can. Kids, serve God. I promise you it's a better life than the world can ever give you. Ever. It's a must to serve God. If you're saved, you're commanded to go. You're commanded to love and you're commanded to serve God. You are. You're commanded to be at church when church doors are open. So when they were in the ditch and had nothing, one guy had compassion and loved him and showed love to him. And he helped him out. He took care of him. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, this is the part I want you to get. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I know we don't do sacrifices anymore, but this shows you how important God wants us, how badly God wants us to obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you're not obeying these simple commandments of God, the chastening of God is coming. If it's not already here, we need to obey God. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The Bible is filled with examples of him correcting and chastening disobedience. Just look at the children of Israel. Look at, there's so many places in the Bible where people disobey and God had to chasten and correct them. Don't be that. We can learn from the Bible. You don't have to do that. You can learn from the Bible and obey. We don't get a choice other than to accept God's free gift of salvation. But what God commands us to do after is a must. You have a choice to obey or disobey, but God will chasten a rebellious child. We are to obey God and do what He says, because 1 Corinthians 6:20, if you'll turn there, we'll read verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Does that second verse sound like He's asking you? He says to do it. So we are to what? Do it. We are to obey. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23 says, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. The first one was, ye must be born again. If you're not saved, get saved. It's the best decision you'll ever make, and the most important decision you'll ever make. Second, ye must go. Third, ye must love. God cannot bless a rebellious child, as I've said before. And if we don't keep His commandments in the small things, how can He do some great things in us? He will chasten us because He is a holy, just, and loving God.